Today I want to talk briefly about remaining spiritually relevant. Remaining spiritually relevant. The truth is that the life we live is a spiritual life. It's not a physical life. Don't be deceived by the beautiful dress you are wearing. Don't be deceived by the hair you are baking. Don't be deceived by the money that you have in your pocket. If you become spiritually obsolete, you are finished. If you become spiritually decayed, you are gone. You must continue to be spiritually relevant. God is spirit. And for you to be able to access the greatness and benefit that God has in your life, you must be spiritually alive. And there is no space for liturgy. There is no space for being on break. There is no space to spiritually go on vacation. You may never return. So you need to be conscious that the forces of pull and push in the world respond to the power that you have in the spirit. So it's good to be beautiful, no problem. But understand that you are more than physical. And that to make impact, to fulfill purpose, to accomplish God's agenda for your life, you must be spiritually relevant. If you are not, you will become meat pie for Satan. And he can choose to eat you at any time. And so we must understand how to be spiritually relevant. If you are still with me, shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now pay attention. Satan knows what to do to make you spiritually relevant. Now, if Satan succeeds in dropping anything in your life, you are finished. Because he comes from time to time to check for those people that he has been able to drop something in their lives. John chapter 14 verse 30. John chapter 14 verse 30. Jesus himself, not me, Jesus himself says, the prince of this world cometh, and he had nothing in me. So Satan was assuming that his demons may have dropped something in Jesus. Now, so he went to check to be sure that if there is something, he will hold him. He will hold him by the jugular. He will press him. Satan at that time. So Jesus was conscious of the fact that Satan is having agents everywhere looking for where to drop something. Luke chapter 22. Verse 3 to 5. Luke chapter 22, verse 3 to 5. The Bible says, and Satan entered into Judas. And the Bible says that Judas went his way. It's a simple message. It's not, you know, I'm not a pastor. So I may not be able to speak those deep things like your pastor. But I can just say things that will help you to succeed in this race. That will make you, like Apostle Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. To be such that you will not just be a Christian by title. You understand what I'm saying? By name. By is born again. But there are no tangible results to follow. I said to people in my church this morning, God answers prayers and God is faithful. Two things. He answers prayer. Prayer is not a gamble. It's not kalu kalu. It's not Niger bet. Whether I will win, he will not win. No, prayer delivers answers. Because God is faithful. And so it means that for Satan, for you not to allow Satan drop something in your life, you must be awake. if you are sleeping. And you see, demons are, you know the number of demons in the world are more than the number of human beings. Oh, do you know? Oh my God. You get it from scriptures now. Jesus said it. He said, when one demon leaves a man, he goes to, because there is accommodation crisis, it will now go and look for other demons looking for accommodation. And say, brother, there's vacancy in this man's life. Let us go there and make a mockery of his life. It's accommodation. And the accommodation is always free. They don't pay. So you see that there is a, it's a supply and demand market. In the spirit, there, no, now, you people read the Bible now. So more demons. Because the Bible says, when Jesus met a man, he said, what's your name? He said, we are Legion. He said, my name is Legion. He said, why? He said, because we are many inside this guy. We are many. Demons are everywhere on us. You see, it's not like us. They're not like us that just casualize everything. Just enjoy your life anyhow. No, demons are on an assignment because the time is short. And there are plenty out there looking for vessels. Because without a body, a spirit is useless. In fact, the Holy Spirit needs you to be active. Without a body, spirit is useless. So that's why there's a tussle for bodies. And you need to be conscious of this. If Satan is waiting for you to sleep for 1 second. 2 seconds, too much for him. 1 second. Boom. Before you know, you start going for deliverance from MFM. Oh my God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 13, verse 25. Matthew. I want to stay on that scripture for a while. I'm watching the time. Don't worry. I'll finish before you know it. You need to pay attention. Bible says, but when men there is the spirit. It's not you, you must sleep at night now. So that some people will now not just go and put a bucket inside water and put their leg and say, no, I must not, my eye must be open 24/7. No. He said, when men, the spirit man, slept. What does it mean to sleep? It means to become careless. It means to become unconcerned. It means to become not serious. It means to become lukewarm. That's what it means to sleep. Not to be vigilant anymore. Not to understand that you are in a boxing ring and the referee has not rang the bell for time out. And you are putting your hand at the back and you have a vicious opponent. It's not, Satan is not a joker. It's not a joker. To be lukewarm, you know, so we'll stay there, but when men slept, I've tried to explain that to you, when we are not, to be lukewarm. Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. Jesus speaking here. I could wish you were cold or hot. 16. So then, Because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. So I was asking the Holy Spirit, I thought you would just be hot. Why will you entertain a cold man and throw away a man that is even, you know, lukewarm, you can still use it to take your bath. You know, why would you accommodate a lukewarm, a cold, and send away lukewarm? That doesn't make sense, Holy Spirit. And he said to me, the hot man is the man that is desiring more. The man is asking, how many souls have I won? How far have I gone in this race? No, I need to. The Bible, he's saying the Bible is not story. People were raising the dead. No. I've not even been able to cure malaria. Lord, more. The cold man is the man that is saying, Lord, I accept that I am weak, but you need to help me. You just must help me. I am cold. I am down. Lord, I'm humbly asking. And so God is always willing to lift that man up. But the man that is lukewarm is the man that is, you can see him today, you won't see him tomorrow. He can read the Bible and say, he can pray for 10 minutes and say, it's 10 minutes. Pastor Obi, is he not getting too much? 10 minutes of my precious time? He's not thinking of how to eat more and occupy more. He's lukewarm. He comes today, tomorrow, well, we are tired. Can they not show this thing online? This thing itself, is he working? Is he not working? That man has slept. And if that man continues in that state, very soon he'll be lost. Remember, our discussion is on remaining spiritually relevant. So let's go back to Matthew chapter 13, verse 25. You see, when men slept, his enemy. The Bible did not say his enemies. The Bible said his enemy. Because truly, his enemy is only one. One. He doesn't have enemies from his village. It's a lie. He doesn't have stepmother that is troubling him. No. He has only one enemy. And the assignment of that enemy is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. To steal means to take away what ordinarily should be in his hand. To kill him means to separate him from his creator. And to destroy him is to put him into hell. That's the assignment of the thief. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 puts it this way. It says, for be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom to devour. We have established who the enemy is. 2 Corinthians chapter 2:11, 2 Corinthians chapter 2:11 talks about the fact that lest Satan get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. That's the enemy. Matthew chapter 13:25 again. Matthew 13:25 again. His enemy came and sowed. To sow something is to deposit an idea. Wow. Is to put a thought. Is to create a belief system. What can the enemy sow? The enemy can sow sin. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 verse 8. Let's see Ecclesiastes chapter 10 verse 8. The enemy can sow sin. Now, the enemy understands Galatians chapter 6 verse 7 very clearly. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sow, Satan understands it like anything, that all he needs to develop a forest is a seed. He will sow a seed as a thought and an idea in that heart, and that will become a ferocious, a serious fire that will engulf that life. So the thing he can sow sin. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 8. He who digs a pit will fall into it, and whoever breaks through a wall will be beaten by the snake. He can sow fear. 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 He can sow fear. The problem with sowing seed, sin, in our hearts is that, and this you need to pay attention to, you cannot bind your master. You can't bind your master. You can't. That's why some of our prayers are just hitting the wall and coming. You can't bind your master. Now. Can you bind your master? Can a house help tell madam, madam, it's your turn to sweep the house today? Say, madam, come, come. No, madam, the way you are really behaving in this house, I don't understand. No. I swept yesterday, I will sweep today again. Are you normal, madam? And that's what we are trying to do.
Wow.
When you are caught, Romans chapter 6, verse 16. When you are caught in sin, you are trying to bind your master. Are you normal? Do you not know that to whom you present yourself slaves to be, you are that one slaves whom you be, whether of sin leading to death or be, how can a slave bind a master? You can't. Immediately Satan can rope you into sin. You telling him, Jesus, come out. He'll be telling you, are you calm down now? I'm your master now. Means you obey me. Why can you now be talking to me like this? You are becoming very rude and proud. You cannot bind your master. Sin, therefore, is something to run from. Sin. And as young people, I'm young also anyway, we casualize sin. We don't understand the damage that sin can create. Sin. John puts it this way in 1 John chapter 5, verse 8. He said, the evil one cannot touch him because he does not commit sin. But immediately we begin to enter all sorts of transactional sin, especially the sin of sexual immorality. The Apostle Paul puts it this way in 1 Corinthians. He said that every sin is committed without the body. He said, but anyone that commits fornication is sinning against his own body. He said, he gave it a ranking. A ranking. And there are subtle ways, as young people, that Satan can use that to grab you. Not only physical sexual activity. That's why you can only find me on what? On what? Social media. On what social media can you find me? WhatsApp. And it's because of only office. That's only where you can. You can't find me. If you find any, you find me on Twitter, it's a cloned account. You find me on Facebook, they have hacked my identity. Find me on, I don't even know what they do there. Because I'm trying to protect my sanity. I was in Facebook before. Well, even LinkedIn, I'm beginning to be afraid of LinkedIn now. Because people are not looking for jobs on LinkedIn anymore. And I see a sister that graduated. Wear long gown, graduation gown now. So you need to be very careful. And the Apostle Paul advised us to flee. Number two, he can deposit fear. I said he can deposit fear. Fear is terrible. Job was brought down because he was magnetically attracted by fear. He said, the thing I greatly fear has befallen me. That's why the Apostle Paul said, for God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and of a sound mind. If you are still in church, shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. So those two things, basically, I think Satan can drop. So let's go back again to Matthew chapter 13. That's how I read my Bible, sorry. I read it word by word. I don't just read it like a Quran. I read it word by word. And I ask the Holy Spirit to explain each word to me. When I get to a comma, I pause. Because it's intentional. When I get to a full stop, I don't know English very well. Then Gabriel used to teach me English. You know, those are scholars in English. Tears. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tears. Ah! And then he went his way. What are tears that the enemy can sow in our life? Basically, I have summarized the tear that Satan, or tears that Satan sow in our life into three. What? He sows darkness. Darkness. Ah! He sows darkness. Darkness brings confusion. Darkness brings hopelessness. Darkness brings fear. Darkness brings unbelief. Darkness builds doubt. He will just blow darkness into that heart. The person will be in church but will not be listening. You see that he's sleeping? Or the thing is just sounding strange to the person. The person reaches a state of hopelessness. When you see somebody attempting suicide or has committed suicide, it's hopelessness. It's hopelessness. The person can't see the hope for the next hour. Let's just say, you know what, ladies and gentlemen of the class, let's just end this transaction here. There is no hope for tomorrow. And what it means is that he has sown darkness in that heart. But the truth is that is why Jesus always embraces darkness. That is why it's called the light of the world. That's why the Bible says, and this light shine in darkness, and the darkness comprehend it not. Satan must never sow darkness in your heart. The second thing that I've discovered that Satan sows in our heart is lust. Lust. The Apostle Paul puts it this way in Romans chapter 1. He said that they gave themselves, and God gave them over to a reprobate mind. To begin to... Who was telling me? I think it was somewhere. Somebody was telling me that there is app for prostitutes now. Okay, yes. App for prostitutes. App, like Uber. Or is it called them? Who devised that thing? Who is the initiator? Who just sat down and thought and said, come, how can we make this thing simpler? Oh my God. App, technology. People are doing OP and, what are all these things? Pampy and all these things. And somebody is doing app so that you don't need to be crawling, going to look. You just connect. And then you agree in meeting. Oh my God. Lust. Satan brings lust through so many things. Movies. Music. Skits. Satan is older than you. You cannot outsmart him. All you need to do is to collect power from God and run away. Satan, even if it is for age, is older than you. He has been tempting people thousands of years before you were born. When you come, I say, look, what's wrong with this one? Even Adam, you've tried it now. I had a way to deal with it. What's wrong with this guy? Lust. Lust is your desire for the physical rather than the spiritual. It's not only about sex. No. Every time what is driving you, for example, is money, you have a problem. Or position, cars, influence. There's a big Satan is coming into your heart. Watch it. Loss for physical things, things that are physical. If those are the things driving why you are coming to church, there's a problem. The pastor will lead this prayer today. Everybody wanting 10 times his salary, if he can shout the highest, then you will now want to borrow microphone to shout that this is my day. Does it mean that money is not good? No. It must not occupy a space that is higher than God in your heart. Lust. The third thing that Satan sows as tears are lies. Lies. I've been praying it for years. These three things. Lord, remove every veil. Because veil creates darkness. And that's why when Jesus said it is finished, the Bible says the veil was turned into two. Lord, every lie of Satan. I met a lady in my former office where I was working before I ran away. I met a lady that said to me, you see, you can see my hand is already, she's less than 40, I'm not sure. Yeah. But she said, you see, this my hand is already paining me. I'm feeling it. I say, why? What's the problem? She said, you know, my mother had arthritis. So it's like I will have arthritis. I say, auntie, you are gone. Satan has programmed that lie in our mind. Satan. Jesus himself described him this way in John chapter 8. He says a liar and the father of lies. Not of liars, of lies. That is the initiator, is the creator, is the fabricator of lies. He will just say to you, whisper in your ears and say to you, you, a boy from your mother didn't go to school, your father didn't go to school, people are living face me, I face you. How can you break through? It's not possible. You can't break through. And then you allow that thought to blow. And then immediately it is sown as a seed. You are gone. You are gone. Your father got to this stage and failed or died. How can you cross this stage? See, it's true. It's true. It's like it's my destiny. It's nothing. It's by hair, it's by blood. And blood is thicker than water. Satan says it's correct. Satan says you are now reasonable. I'm now reasonable. This thing doesn't make sense. And then you accept that lie. And as you accept that lie, what you have simply done is to surrender your hand for handcuff to be put.
Yes, sir.
Or your leg. Because I've seen criminals that run with handcuff in their hand. But a long run with handcuff on your leg is hard. Police was chasing the man with handcuff in his hand. You know, some people can run without it. You know, so that leg, there are lies you must not accept. You must be aggressively rejecting them.
Yes, sir.
As they are coming into your mind, you say, no. The Bible says. If you allow a lie, you will never, never, get out of that hook. And if you are not careful, you will transfer it generations down. The lie of Satan is a master at it, because he knows what he can use to lure you. What he can use to lure Pastor is different from what he will use to lure me. He will use it to lure you. It will be hard for Satan to lure me with alcohol, for example. It will be hard. Very hard. Because even when I was living in the heart of alcoholism, I didn't test it. And I was not born again. So how can he now? No, you say this boy. If you like, say this boy is smarter than this. Let's use something else. For example, we can use money. You know, I like money. I use money. You say this boy likes money. Let's find a way to rope him with money. And if I'm also not careful, I would get stuck in that tear. And then that person is gone. How do I remain spiritually relevant? Remember I said your pastor, I come here sometimes, I sit at the back, I see when he's preaching, he can preach for 3 hours. He's called a pastor. He has the anointing of a pastor. But we that are brothers, we don't have that kind of calling. We say what we want to see, and we go. Leave the rest. Hallelujah. How do I remain spiritually relevant? And this is what I want you to please, from now on, pay attention to it and take it serious. Number one, stay with the word. Stay with the word. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9. Stay with the word. Stay with the word. You know, this flows from 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. You know, we've read this before. So, the Apostle Peter is now telling us how to defeat this. He says, resist him steadfast in faith. Faith is standing on God's word and acting on it. Faith is, he says, resist him steadfast. It's the same strategy that Jesus adopted when Satan attempted to attack him. He says, is it not written that you are the Son of God? You see, because if you read that in Matthew chapter 3, the last verse of Matthew chapter 3, God just declared to him, this is my beloved Son, and anointed him. And then in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, is it not surprising that the first temptation Satan confronts him with is that if thou, he challenged what God said, is the same pattern Satan has been using. He uses the same pattern for Adam. Has God said, thou shalt not. And rather than just repeat what God has said, Adam entered into a conversation with Satan, logic and reason. And Satan said, well, you see that God is just trying to play you a trick. He knows that immediately you eat this thing, you will begin to think you'll be like him. Ah. And it made sense. The word of God is everything you need. You see, inside that word of God, it's like a capsule. Yes, sir. It has every potent power to change your situation. Yes. It's inside the word of God. The word of God is what your prayer must stand on. Now, if I take you back to Genesis, I think in Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. Are you there? If you can take me to Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. Wow. The man brought the whole of Genesis. Genesis chapter 2. Or is there no verse 17 there? But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. Who was speaking here? Oh, these people are sleeping. Who was speaking here?
God.
He was talking to Adam. Genesis chapter 3, 4 to 5. Genesis chapter 3. Hold this. Then the serpent said unto the woman, you will not surely die. Verse 5. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Just pay attention. God said what? You surely die. Satan said what? Who did Adam believe?
Satan.
Therefore, for your salvation to come, you must believe God. That's why salvation is simple. That's why salvation is simple. For your salvation to come, you must believe the word of God. That's all. That's all. That's why God said, okay, you capture these people by believing you. They will become saved by believing me. You capture these people by believing your word. They will become saved by believing my word. And if they choose to continue, welcome, Pastor. Please, let's put our hands together for the pastor. The pastor is back. Yeah, welcome, Pastor. We're just about closing. Amen. So, God is saying that you believe, you became a slave by believing Satan. Abi, automatically, the man believed Satan. And then the man became a slave of Satan. Salvation will only come when you believe me. Simple. You understand why believe is what is required to be saved? It's from the beginning. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. And that is why the word of God is so important. Inside of the word of God, believing that word of God is what will bring your salvation and your breakthrough. And then there was a meeting on the mountain, three people meeting. You remember the three people meeting? Moses, Elijah, and Jesus. And God again helped us by saying, this is my beloved son, hear him. That means every word that comes from him and his spirit is what is required to change your life. It's simple. That's why it's not good to just be praying, Lord, do it, do it, do it. No, no. Do what? Or standing upon what? Does it make sense now? Do it, do it, do it. What? What? You must... See, transformation comes two ways. Two things must happen. Just as salvation comes. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. The same thing Jesus explained in Mark chapter 11. If thou shalt believe and shall see. Those two things was a present for a relocation from one point to the other. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. But Satan wants to keep the heart in unbelief. Because if the mouth keeps speaking, but the heart does not believe, the result will not come. The man will continue to live a frustrated life. And that's why you must be intentional in belief. And belief is very simple. You know, sometimes my son will ask me, but daddy, how do we believe there is God? I say the same way you don't believe. The same energy you are using not to believe is the same energy that is required to believe. You just switch sides. You just change your jersey. That's all. You just, you say, you know, he's just wondering. I said to him, that's, you just switch sides. That same energy of all, is it not the same unbelief? Is it the unbelief? Is it a different way? Is it the same way now? I just believe. And then there's a switching of sides. And these things happen. Everything happens in the spiritual realm through belief. It's just belief. And I've explained to you from Genesis how it happened like that. It was a template that Satan copied. And God said, I'm going to use this same template to deal with you. As long as they believe, they will move away from your kingdom. Just as you brought them into the kingdom by believing in you. But the truth is that many of us have moved. But we are living our daily lives in disbelief to the word of God. That's where the energy of Christianity must be. Lord, help me to believe you. Because immediately you believe and you can manage to add voice to it, there is no Satan that can stop it. They're never born up. Because it's a principle that God always honors. You understand? It's God doesn't set a law and not honor it. Oh God. You need to understand how powerful the word of God is. Now, if God is going to judge you by the words of your mouth, Jesus will be judged by the words of his mouth. Do you understand what I'm saying? If God, he doesn't set a standard I can't keep. If you have not passed YS, you can't be marking YS scripts. That's why Jesus had to come in the flesh. It's one of the reasons. So that he can tell God, understand what this boy is saying. Oh, I felt it too. Babes were following me and I was trying to just, all these girls following me when we're going on excursion. I know, let's just let him be. That's it. You need to understand that he felt it like you. He felt it like you. You need to take it in as he has said it. So I said the first thing to remain spiritually relevant is you must stay on the word. The word must be just, you can't be coming only to church on Sunday to wait for pastor to preach you. You are taking a gamble. I'm telling you. Just as you are feeding your physical body, you must be feeding the mind. Yesterday I was talking to my son and I said to him, young man, when you are sleeping, when you lay on your bed, what do you think about? Is there anything that comes to my mind? Ah! It's a big problem. It's a big problem I have. It's a big problem I have. And I said to him, and I understand what he's saying. Do you know one of the most difficult things to do is to tame your thoughts? It's a casting down imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That only happens if your inner man has become enlarged. Your inner man becomes enlarged when you sit with the word. If you are just somebody that reads the word like means and booms, you are in trouble. No. You must take your daily study of the word serious. It's not, I can read a chapter for 2 weeks. One chapter. I'm not competing. Some people, one woman sent to me, let's read the Bible in 1 week. I say, madam, I mean, delete me from that group. Oh. Delete me from that group. He said, we want to read the Bible. I say, are they sharing money? He said, what competition is this thing? No. I'm not competing with anybody. Madam, please, remove me from that group. Oh. Don't take me that group. You must stay with the word. That's why while I was working, I could not take a job where I would not study the Bible. No, it's not me. It's not me. I don't know. In career, just a digression. In career, don't chase money. Money will chase you. Yes. Money in life, money will chase where there's value. Money, it will look for where there's value. And it will stay with where there's value. And that's why I say to younger people, when you're starting your career, you have two jobs. Is this part of the topic? Okay, let's just take it. You have two jobs. This one will pay you 50,000. This one will pay you 70,000. But the one that will pay you 70,000 in that company, they can't develop you. You just be carrying file about. This one that will pay you 50,000. There is a progression. There is training. Ladies and gentlemen, let me beg you. Go and take that one for 50,000. Yoruba proverb say, it is what the bird is, the bird flies with. The reason why people are stuck in the later lives of their career is that they refuse to dig a foundation. I'm a civil engineer by training, and I know that in building a pile foundation, a pile foundation. It can take you 2 years. You are building it. It has not come out. You'll be wondering, you'll be passing. What are these people even doing around this area? They just come every day. They'll just get dirty and they'll go. What are they doing? No, sir. They are building a pile. Because the capacity of the pile is different from the capacity of a strip. Now, you cannot put a 12-story structure on a strip before you even put it, it has collapsed. But a pile can take 30-story building. So in building your career, you must dig the foundation and go down. So that later in life, at least Pastor Idara knows, when I left my work, they were begging me not to go. They were begging me. I did 2 months. My MD called me, Shegun, please, please. Can you say 1 more month? I said, well, that's fine. I'll say 1 more month. From South Africa, they were wondering why they cannot find a replacement. I was just seeing my LinkedIn profile every day from South Africa. They are checking. Because my MD is telling me, we have looked, we can't find. We can't find. So I called him to a 1-on-1 meeting. I said, sir, you will not find. You will not find. You will not find. It is not because of being, and I told him, I said, it's not because of being arrogant. The truth is, you will not find. He looked at me, said, really, we have tried. I said, you will not find. So what he has done now, they have split my role into 4. You can't find it. You can't find it. So he said to me, just the day before yesterday, somebody called me from my office to say, Shegun, MD say you come and be consultant. I say, hey, you are now talking. You are now talking. But you must dig that foundation. It's not money you'll be pursuing. If I tell them I want to collect and it's 5 now, they will pay me. But then I say, okay, you know what? I've actually had a rethink of this thing. The way things are going now, you know, maybe he will say, come and take it. As long as he will not go again, come and take it. Hallelujah. So stay with the word. Stay with the word. Jesus, Satan will always confront you. If you are not rooted in the word, you will just make a mockery of your destiny. Hallelujah.
Amen.
How to remain spiritually relevant. Number 2, you must set personal boundaries. You must set personal boundaries. You see the word personal. You see, I use the word personal because you are the one that can set those boundaries yourself. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 27, I think, says, neither give place to the devil. There are people that can watch some movies. They are okay. They just say, oh, well, we're fine. Is that, say they are okay. Some of us cannot. Don't compare yourself to somebody. The Apostle Paul puts it this way. He said, we have different grace in different areas. Don't go and be you that we use follow-up, prayer, vigil, to take alcohol from your hand. Then you now escort your friend to be a palo. Are you normal? You are creating, you are frustrating the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit will be telling you, don't go. Don't go. You'll be saying, I don't strong now. I don't strong. I've come to maturity. I don't strong. Holy Spirit, you are thinking, it's me of 5 years ago. No, this is a new me. You have worked on me. Holy Spirit is saying, I know the work I have done on you. No, but you say no. No, let's go. What's there? Is it good? It's not a problem. No. I'll just look at them. I'll even be preaching to them. Ladies and gentlemen, by the time you see that foam, you know that foam? It just poured. The thing just grew. Bro, you'll be looking. He said then the Satan, remember the lies. Satan will whisper to you, drink, but don't get drunk. That's what the Bible says. It says scripture. Rema. Auntie, Just one. Ladies and gentlemen, they may carry you out of that place. You need to set personal boundaries. You need to sit down with yourself. No pastor, no lecturer. Sit down with yourself and say, who am I? Who am I? Don't answer yourself first. Because immediately demons will be speaking to you. Calm down. Who am I? Who do I want to be? Am I okay with the way my life is going? That's why the Bible says, examine yourself whether you are in the faith. So you say, who am I? Who am I? What can I accept? What can I not accept? Which friends should I not join? Which friends should I join? Where are the places I should go to? Where are the places I should not go to? What kind of dress can I wear? What can I not wear? Everything that is going to corrupt your mind, you must run away from it. You need to set personal boundaries. They know me many years ago, when I was also. I know the hug woman. It's just not that I can hug all this one. I know the hug woman though. Just a hole. I don't know the hug woman. But you know these people that time, they will just hug. I say, then get the grace. Me, I don't get. I know the hug woman. Just hug me, I don't give you. That's now. Now, you know, the Holy Spirit has worked on me. I know the hug woman. You have to know how to. You must know your enemy. If you don't know your enemy, you are at risk. Serious risk. Set boundaries. Don't let anybody start calling you when there's nobody at home. Can I come? Can I now come? The next thing to do is to violently put your phone inside water and say, this one will not reach me again. This one will not reach me. Or you just switch it off, close your door, everything, go off internet, everything. Because Satan is ferocious. Yes. you know they pity you. Yes. If he holds you, especially as a Christian, he will grind you. If you don't get support, you don't get a social, like church, people to hold you and carry you through, you are gone.
Yes, sir.
You are gone. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Number three, how to remain spiritually relevant. You must create and learn to create an atmosphere of worship. You must learn to create an atmosphere of worship. You must not make church online. Sorry, let me put it in a better way. Before they say I'm against online church. No, I'm not against online church. I'm just saying that if you have the opportunity, don't say you want to watch online. I have said, what do they call it? Gabriel, we know. Lion. Sheep. Plenty sheep. What did they call them? Flock. I know he will know. When a lion is approaching the flock, it's looking for the weakest one. The one that has been wounded, that refuses to come to church. That say, it's like, I can't just be doing this thing on my own. It's the wounded one. He will go first for that one and chew it. So, every opportunity you have to come to church, I'm begging you, come to church. Come, physically, as in with yourself. Carry yourself and come to church. And I thank God for your church that during the lockdown, you disobeyed government. I chose to be doing physical church sometime. I was praying for you people. That Lord, let them not arrest these people. How will I do that? But it was good. Do you know some churches are yet to recover? The people have just said, we didn't do VG. My child did not die. They didn't sack me in job. We didn't go to church. In fact, my salary was even increased. There's no need to be going to church. There's no need to be going to church. They have become the wounded one. When Satan will come, they will not be able to run. When you come like this and fellowship, Apostle Paul puts it this way in Hebrews. He said, and do not forsake the assembly of one another as the manner of some. Be careful. And then I said, inside of that is the atmosphere of worship. When you want to sleep in my house in the night, and I want to sleep now, I'll just be playing music. They dash me one Bluetooth. Because my wife will be begging me, everybody is sleeping, reduce the volume. I say, but I pay rent in this house. Now. It's not that anybody that is angry should go. You keep the atmosphere of worship. You are worshiping. And good for you guys, you have a studio. You people don't have an excuse. You don't have an excuse. So you play, it says singing to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Say thank God. Psalm 22:3, and God inhabits the praises of his people. Satan can't stand there. You just worship him. You just keep worshiping him. You come to church, you're excited about worship. You're excited about the word. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Number four. Number one, I say it's what? Number two, I say it's what? Number three, I say it's what? Number four, fast regularly. Fast regularly. Let fasting be lifestyle. Let it not be when pastor say to you, this month is 30 days. Then you'll be praying. You know, I used to do it. I'll be praying, Lord, touch the heart of this pastor. Let him not declare any fasting. But ladies and gentlemen, if you must generate internal power, you must fast. Luke chapter 4 verse 14, the Bible says, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. Fasting makes you to have one-on-one contact with Jesus. And there's a transfer of power. You must learn to, by yourself, create a template to fast. And accompany it with prayer. Not the one that you will just say, today I'm fasting. Around 3 o'clock in the office, you just say, ah, 3 Matthew. Fasting, if I turn here. Say, ah, thank God, today is gone. Ezra, now hunger strike. You just wasted your time. Fasting must be. That's why it's good to do fasting on a day when you can pray. You generate an amount of. Remember, we are talking about. You are strengthening the inner man. Because everything God will give. Remember, God is not sin. God deals with your spirit. Everything God will give to you is deposited in your spirit. If your spirit is kwashokorized, you will never get anything that is heavy. No, none of you will give your son that is 2-year-old 25 liter jerrycan to carry. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And you will never give your child that is not responsible a car at 12. You will not. You will tell him to grow up, even though you have the money. No responsible father will do that. So until you develop your inner man muscles. You know, the Apostle Paul, and I was thinking about it yesterday. There were things I'm trying to carry somewhere. So I told my son is 16. I told my son to carry the thing into the car. And he carried it. So I didn't know how he carried it. He just carried it, yeah. When I now got to the place I'm supposed to give them the thing, I tried to carry the thing. I was asking myself, my son carried this thing. Then the scripture came to me. Though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is in there and say, Shegu, you are going. This is what it means. This is what it means. Ah! Say, ah! Ah! Carry this thing? But what is important to me is the inner man. What am I doing to my inner man? Is it growing? Or becoming too babyish? Is it growing? The Apostle Paul was speaking to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He said, I wanted to feed you with strong meat, but you guys still like Cerelac. You still want to drink Naan. You see, you want to be drinking naan. Where my daughter would say to my mom, to her mom, buy me, we'll go for shopping. She said, did you buy a cereal? I said, are you, what's wrong with you? Well, 13 years, you want to be drinking, sir, what's wrong with you? He said, I just like it. I said, no, buy, don't buy that thing in this house. Cerelac. Don't try that thing. Because I expect that. Yes, she just wants to just eat it sometimes. I say, no, I'll use that as an excuse not to spend the money. So I say, no, don't buy that. It's for babies, you know, you don't take cereal. Hallelujah. So we need to learn to fast regularly. Enter into the room of fasting. It helps you to generate energy. I was younger when I was a teenager. My mother used to stop me, to beg me to stop fasting. She said, Shegu, Otito. And I didn't know what I was doing, but I knew there was something that I needed to get. So fast regularly. Hallelujah. Amen. Number 5, which is the final thing. Keep your prayer altar on fire. Keep your prayer altar on fire. Keep your prayer altar on fire. This is a part that you can't afford to miss. You know, Jesus did not need a wife. Jesus was not looking for change of job. You know, Jesus did not plan to buy a land and build a house. You know, Jesus was not trying to travel abroad. You know, Jesus was not trying to increase his bank account. But why did he pray so much? Why did he pray so much? The Bible says a great while before he went into a solitary place and there he prayed. The Bible says at night he went to pray and he continued in prayer all night to God. And I was asking, Lord, he doesn't have prayer point that I have. How come? You know, some of us will pray for 3 minutes and say, what else are we going to ask for? What else? I pray for my mother. I pray for myself. I pray for my... In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 3 minutes of prayer. 5 minutes. No. Jesus was praying because he needed to be sustained by prayer. Prayer is the place of renewal. It's a place where purpose is enforced. An empowerment for the actualization of purpose is declared. Yes. He was going for an assignment. Every day is a new assignment. And every day he needed to come and draw. Because in the place of prayer, there is an exchange that occurs. You are able to drop things at the master's feet and he deposits things into you. There's an exchange that happens. So prayer must not be for receiving tangible things. Yes. It is for an exchange. It is a fellowship. It is a face. It's a place where color changes, where face begins to look alike. It's a place where you receive strength for the day. And the Bible says, and when Jesus was coming, they were all waiting for him already. Imagine that he did not go to renew himself. You must continue to pray. And you must pray for grace to pray. God can teach you prayer. He can teach you prayer. He can teach you how to pray, actually. He can tell you why to pray. Now, if God exposes to you why you pray, prayer will never be boring to you again. Never. Never. You'll never be bored in the place of prayer. You will enjoy prayer, as in you will enjoy it. You pray for 2 hours normally on an ordinary day, and you are wondering, 2 hours, that's it. It is because you have entered an understanding of prayer. You will not go like that Pharisee that will say, Lord, me, I fast twice a day, I do this a day. No. I mean, like the other guy. But you will go like that one that connects to God. You must keep your prayer altar on fire for you to remain spiritually relevant. Don't ever say, I have prayed on Monday. Is there a need to pray on Tuesday? No, then that person, anybody in that category is already stepping out of the boundaries. We must set up stick, fuel, fire upon our altar as we pray every day. And the Lord himself will give us the grace not to be destroyed by Satan in the name of Jesus. I want you to bow your heads and just pray. Jesus declares, say, whatsoever the Father has not planted shall be uprooted. Possibly, Satan may have planted things in our lives unknown to us when we are asleep. I want you to pray today. And by the communion of our gathering, that the Lord himself will uproot those things from your life. Some of us is bitterness. Some of us is unforgiveness. Some of us is pride. Some of us is anger. Some of us is lust. Some of us, you are just hopeless and confused. Some of us is fear. Just pray that the Lord God Almighty today will uproot those things. Because the words of Jesus himself said, whatsoever the Father has not planted will be uprooted. Lord, uproot from my heart. If you are here and you also know that you have disconnected from him, I want you to pray. Everywhere that you are, just lift up your hands to God and say, I surrender to you. You may have disconnected somewhere and you know yourself. Just say, Lord, refill me again. Refill me. You need to lift your hand to him to show to him that you are willing for that refilling. Lord, refill me again.